If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I hope you do, go ahead and turn to Mark's Gospel. We'll be in verse 21. Here, after using the parable of the soil to explain the responses to his ministry of proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus begins to give a shape and form to our understanding of what the kingdom of God is like. And he uses that with parables. He uses these common, ordinary scenarios to communicate heavenly truths about his mission and his ministry. And so here we come in verses 21 through 34 to understand the kingdom. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we turn our attention to this text that speaks to the realities of your kingdom, I pray that you would give us the same understanding that you gave your disciples to understand the truths of your kingdom. A kingdom that we have come to be a part of through our faith in Christ. And we do pray that if there are any here this morning that do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would come to know him as such. That they would see their need for him, that their sin would be revealed to them, and the perfect salvation that is made possible through Christ would be revealed to them in such a convincing way that they come to know him as their Savior. We pray that we as your children, as your disciples, would be faithful with what we have heard and with what we have received, knowing that you have called us to spread the light of the gospel that we have received into a dark and a dead and dying world, so that those who are far from you would be brought near through your gospel. And we thank you for this privilege. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. So Jesus in these parables is first going to show that the kingdom of God is a kingdom that has revealed things that had been concealed in the past. That this kingdom brings with it a serious responsibility for us as disciples. He's going to demonstrate the reliability of the kingdom, and that this is a rising, a growing kingdom. So first, the revelation of the kingdom. Jesus says in verse 21, he asked the question, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." In the epistles, we often read of the mystery of God's will in the Old Testament. You know, when we think of a mystery, we think of a detective novel, where it's whodunit, where the biblical idea of a mystery is something that has been concealed with an anticipation for the time that it would be revealed. And Jesus is saying that everything promised about the kingdom in the Old Testament has now been revealed in his ministry. He began his ministry saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. He told his disciples that he must preach the gospel of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after John's arrest, we're told that Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And so Jesus is saying the light has come on, and he's going to be entrusting the light of the gospel of the kingdom to the disciples. And so he asked them, what do you do with the light? Do you put it under your bed? Do you put it under a basket? Do you hide the light? Do you conceal the light? No, you don't. You use the light to bring illumination. It brings clarity. It brings things that are hidden to light. And Jesus is saying, so it is with the kingdom. If we've come to know the kingdom, we have a responsibility of making the kingdom visible. Even now in this ministry, he is kind of keeping his identity as the Messiah a secret. That's why he would shush the demons when they would try to out him before the crowd, saying, "We know who you are," and he would charge them not to speak, because it was not time for his identity to be revealed, but the time would come, he is making clear, that what was hidden would be revealed, never to be hidden again. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Jesus is making it clear to his disciples that what they are understanding on the inside level is going to be revealed to all through them, that they're going to have a responsibility not to conceal what they've heard, but to share what they've heard with a world that desperately needs to hear it. The kingdom of God is at hand. It has come through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. The light has shined in the darkness, as John would say in his gospel. What do we do with this light? Do we hide it? This ties very closely with what he's going to say in regards to the responsibility that comes with knowledge of the kingdom. What we have been entrusted with, this message of the kingdom, the gospel that the kingdom of God has come near in the life and ministry of Christ, is not something that we should hide, but that we should put on center stage. See, so oftentimes we might think to ourselves, the world is so dark, what's the point? But the biblical testimony is that the light is greater than the darkness. You never wake up in the morning and think, well, it's so dark, well, what's the bother of flipping the light switch? So dark, what's the bother of turning on the lampstand light? No, we never think to ourselves, well, you know, the darkness is going to push back the light. Every time we turn on our lights, we have a reminder that the light overcomes the darkness. And so we don't hide our light, we don't conceal our light, we put our light on display. Elsewhere, Jesus says we're to let our light shine before men so that they would praise our Father. And so what we have received an understanding, the disciples have received an understanding of the kingdom, and it is going to bring about a greater responsibility. Even those that rejected the ministry of Christ, rejected the message of Christ, faced a greater responsibility for what they had seen and heard. I'll tell you, if you're not a believer in Christ and you're in this room right now or watching online, you're actually going to have greater responsibility because you'll have greater knowledge to be accountable for. Elsewhere, Jesus pronounces woe on Bethsaida and Capernaum, saying that if the works he had accomplished there had been worked in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented, and that it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than those cities on the day of judgment because they had greater knowledge. And so this brings us to the responsibility that the kingdom brings. Note verse 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a common expression found in rabbinic literature at the time, and what is conveyed there is the just judgment of God. That God is just in how he rewards and how he condemns. It is proportionate to how we respond and how we receive his word. And so Jesus would have those listening to him to understand that there is a great responsibility that is being trusted to them. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For those that receive it, who invest in the kingdom, who understand the great gift that the gospel is, and have received it and have treasured it, more is added to them. But we've already seen in the parable of the soils that there are going to be many that hear this kingdom. It goes one ear out the other. They value their life in this present age. They'll seek to save their life and lose it. They'll be choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. And so Jesus speaks of the great responsibility that comes with this. Verse 25, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not. The one who would not receive the gospel of the kingdom, the one who rejects it at face value, even what he has will be taken away. The biblical testimony is that it will be on the basis of the gospel by which all men will be judged. Paul speaks of that judgment in Romans, that by it will be judged the secret thoughts of the hearts of men. We have a grave responsibility. You know, I've said before, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the access to the gospel. I mean, so many people, it's not a lack of time or a lack of availability of resources, a lack of availability of the scripture. It's a lack of interest. But it is a dangerous thing to be exposed to the preaching and teaching of the gospel and be indifferent to it. To borrow that famous saying from popular culture, with great knowledge comes great responsibility. So this kingdom brings with it a great responsibility. How we respond to Jesus will determine what awaits us. There's a proportionality in God's judgment. Jesus elsewhere says, if we deny him before men, we put our lamp under a desk, we hide our light, we hide the light of the gospel, we hide the saving message of Christ. What does Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. There's a great responsibility that comes with his kingdom. And if there's any doubt in his hearer's mind about the reliability of this kingdom, he moves forward in verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Again, going back to that agricultural metaphor. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Now, even to this day and age, at the end of the day, a farmer can't tell you all the genetic coding that enables a plant to grow and flourish. You know, we understand in light of modern science that all that is encoded to DNA, but you ask a farmer, okay, which segment of DNA instructs the seed to open up, which instructs it to set down roots, which instructs it to rise up and seek out sunlight to cause the process of photosynthesis? We don't know. The farmer plants his seed. He sleeps and he rises night and day. Time goes. He doesn't have to pick at the seed. He doesn't plant the seed, and he doesn't dig it up to see if it's sprouting. He plants the seed, trusting it's going to do what seeds do, that it's going to sprout, that it's going to grow without his interference, because he understands that it is a reliable seed. The farmer is demonstrating a patient trust, the same patient trust we are commanded to have in James chapter 5, verse 7. James writes in James 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." The farmer doesn't think, okay, I just need to keep poking and prodding at it. I know at least one of you gardens, and once you plant your seeds, you don't keep poking and prodding at them, thinking that your poking and prodding is going to do anything. There's a level of trust to gardening. There's a level of trust in the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He is giving this parable to his followers, and he is explaining to them that in a way that they'll never understand, the word is going out. It's accomplishing its purpose, even though they don't see it. You know, you plant a seed in a garden, it takes some time for it to shoot up above the soil. And then after that, after it has its first leaves, it takes some time before it bears fruit. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What Jesus is communicating to his hearers is that there is no way that his kingdom will fail. Just as a farmer can plant seeds and have confidence that the seed's going to do what seeds do and grow and produce fruit, Jesus has confidence that his kingdom will not fail because his life and ministry will not fail. And so his followers can have confidence in the reliability of his kingdom. We don't have to understand how everything works in the kingdom. Now, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the hidden things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us. The Lord says to the people of Israel, to you and your children. See, we don't have to understand how faith, we can understand the mechanics that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, but we don't have to understand how a heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. We don't have to have a mechanical diagram that walks us through how God's kingdom translates somebody from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. All we need is confidence that his word, his gospel, his kingdom will not fail. That it's a reliable kingdom. See, the disciples will never fully understand these things, and we'll never fully understand these things in this life. What we'll understand is that we have a reliable kingdom, we have an unfailing kingdom, because we have an unfailing God, we have an unfailing Savior. And it might feel like sometimes, because of our skewed understanding, we might think, well, is it really working? Is it really growing? I think we have to historically take a step back. Think about when Christ was betrayed. How many of his followers were at the foot of the cross? There was John and there was the women. Judas ended his life while Jesus was dying for our sins. Jesus rises from the dead. His disciples are hiding away, locked in the upper room. for fear of the Romans. Think about the great miracle of Pentecost. 120 in the upper room, or the disciples. He had fed crowds of thousands. 5,000 on one occasion, several thousand on another. Thousands and thousands of people had heard his word. You know, the disciples on that first Pentecost, before the preaching started, might have thought, well, this isn't going very well. Something bad must have happened. This kingdom doesn't seem to be coming like we thought it would. We're just several thousand a year ago, and now there's 120 of us. And Peter preaches, and we're told in the Gospel of Luke, 3,000 people got saved. And you know, oftentimes we're in awe of that, 3,000 people. That's amazing. Historians tell us that during feast days, like the Feast of the Booths that was being celebrated at the time of Pentecost, that there would be upwards of 60, 70,000 people in Jerusalem. So in a city with 60 to 70,000 people, only 3,000 people got saved. Doesn't seem like an auspicious start, when far more than that seemed to be following him. And yet they kept trusting in the promise of the kingdom. And unlike the Union Jack, where the sun does set on it, the sun never sets on the kingdom of Christ. There is not a continent where the gospel has not been named. There is not a country that has not had the gospel brought to it. There might be people groups who have not been exposed to the gospel, but it has grown in a way that is humanly difficult to explain. Yes, time has occurred, but the kingdom has not failed, and one day the end will come. Verse 29, but when the grape is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The kingdom will not fail. One day the harvest will come, and history will come to its appointed end. But in the meantime, this reliable kingdom is rising. It's a growing kingdom. You know, oftentimes we judge things by how they start and not how we think they'll finish. Oftentimes we think if it's a small start, it's going to be a small finish. Jesus turns our understanding on the head, beginning in verse 30. He said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Just a show of hands, how many of you have seen a mustard seed before? They're really tiny, aren't they? You drop a mustard seed on your carpet, you're going to have a hard time finding it. And at that period of history, that was the smallest seed they knew. So you have this tiny, insignificant seed that a lot of people probably need their glasses on to see in this day and age. The smallest of all seeds on the earth. So Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to this smallest of seed. It has this smallest of starts. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet, so in contrast to its smallness, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nest in its shade. Just saying, you might think that this is starting small, like this mustard seed, but one day it's going to grow, it's going to expand. In the Old Testament, the birds of the air are often a metaphor used to describe the nations. What Jesus is saying is that this kingdom is not simply a kingdom for us Jewish people. This kingdom will encompass all the nations, in order to fulfill the promise to Abraham that through his seed all the nations would be blessed. This explains why on that first Pentecost Sunday the disciples weren't completely downhearted and discouraged, that there were only 120 of them. Wondering, okay, where are the 5,000 that we fed? because they understood that it was going to start small. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And so we have confidence. We can have confidence that Christ's kingdom is growing. Even now, through our giving to the Quarpin program and enabling missionaries to go out for the sake of the name of Christ and share Christ, the kingdom is growing. If you don't ever go on the IMB website, I encourage you to. The kingdom is at work in the world. Now, they won't put it on the news channels because that's not their purview. But it's growing. Every day, people are being saved. Every day, lives are being transformed through the gospel of God's kingdom. So what are we going to do with what we've been entrusted? We've been given a greater revelation than the Old Testament saints. We have been entrusted with a great treasure. We've been entrusted with the light of the gospel. And just as Jesus' disciples had a decision to make on what they were going to do with this gospel, were they going to hide it? Jesus warned them, you don't have a light to hide it. You don't turn on a flashlight and put it in your pocket. What are we going to do with the light that has been given to us? You know, it's easy for us to turn on our news or look outside our door and shake our fist at the darkness and curse the darkness. You know, the power goes out, you're walking around the house. It's easy to complain when you stub your toe because the lights are out. When it's dark, what you do is you turn on the light and you spread the light. And so we have a responsibility as believers who have been entrusted with much to share this light. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he speaks of the judgment to come. There's not just the judgment that, in regards to whether we're saved or not, but Paul says that all our works are going to be tested by fire. Whether we built with gold and silver and precious stones, or whether we built with wood, hay, and stubble, what we have done with this glorious treasure will be tested. And so there are going to be some that indeed genuinely receive the gospel, but they're going to be saved as through fire. And there are going to be some that heard the gospel and didn't want anything to do with it. See, if I'm going to pick a category of person I want to be in this parable, I want to be the one who adds to what I had. I want to be one who has shared the gospel, who has invested in knowing the gospel, who has brought others to see the gospel. That's what Jesus is getting at when he says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. This parallels the parable of the talents. Now, if we use this gospel that has been entrusted to us, this great treasure, to bring others to know it, we don't lose in others coming to know it. We gain. But if we don't, we lose. The gospel, the message of the kingdom, is the one thing that isn't diminished by sharing. Now, if you have cake and you give it to others, you have less cake for yourself. But if you share this, what you've received, you have more. Isn't that remarkable? The one thing in all creation that increases by sharing it. And so true of our faith in the gospel. The more we share it, the more faith we have. And so we have a responsibility to share it, and we have grounds to share it. We know that it is a reliable word. We know that when we share the word of the gospel, when we share the gospel of the kingdom, that it's going to accomplish its purpose. Whether we know how God does that in the life of the individuals we share with it, we know that God is going to bring something about. We have confidence. We know that it's a growing kingdom. We know that it's going to continue growing. People are going to continue being added to the kingdom until Christ returns. And so we understand the shape and form of the kingdom, and we understand our responsibility in light of it. We've been given a kingdom that will not fail because we have a Savior that will not fail. So the challenge for us as believers is to let our light shine. Let our lives demonstrate the realities that we have come to know and trust in the gospel of Christ's kingdom. And to pay much more attention to what we hear in that than what we hear in the world. You know, it's easy for us to pay attention to what the world says because the world screams a lot louder. But what does the scripture say about the world? This whole world lies under the evil one. So let us hearken to the voice of Christ concerning his kingdom. Let us devote our lives to spreading Christ's kingdom, knowing that it will not fail. Now, as we come to this time of invitation, I ask you, have you indeed received this glorious gift of the gospel? Have you placed your life, your eternal life on it, trusting in him? Because if you're not, then the judgment of God, you've rejected the greatest gift of all and have incurred greater judgment upon yourself. So as we come to this time of invitation, I tell you, if you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and pray with me, or if you'd prefer to speak afterward, come and find me. But don't let today end without receiving this glorious gift. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you have invited us and included us into a kingdom that will not fail, a kingdom that has grown and expanded all around the world, that you have made us a part of something bigger than we could ever comprehend. And we pray that we who are believers would be faithful in sharing the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. That if there are any in here this morning who have not come to find this hope, that today they would. That they would see their need and they would see the certainty of your truth. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.